Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that we have about this, there's so much that we have in all our readings today, especially in the book of Revelation, what we have here at the end, that there is so much that I could preach on. But I got to thinking about this too. What am I going to preach on? Well, Jesus goes in the gospel and starts talking about I and the Father are one. Okay? In Matthew chapter 9, he says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. All right, so what is he telling us? Well, he's telling us that if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father, because he and the Father are one. All right, well, so what does that mean? There's that good eternal Lutheran question. It means that Jesus and God are both God and they're both parts. Now, here we are in that Trinity again, which is hard for us to understand. I mean, it's one of those things. Would somebody explain the Trinity to me? Even we were told in seminary, don't talk about the Trinity and try and explain it, because anything you say will be heresy. Well, how do we talk about it? You know, when you got to explain it to a kid. Well, it's like ice or water, because ice or water can be a vapor, it can be a liquid, it can be hard. But yet we're still talking about three different things, see? So where's the three in one? Well, it's not there. The one I've heard an apple used to talk about that in the past. Why? Because you got the meat, you got the rind, you got the seeds. But yet, still three separate things. Oreo cookie. If I'm teaching the kids, I usually bring Oreo cookies and hand each kid a cookie. I said, now, what I want you to do is squeeze it. And the kid goes, oh, yeah. You know, like this. Because the two biscuits are the Father and the Son. What's in the middle? Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit oozes out. By the way, the word for the Holy Spirit in the Trinity in Greek is ousia for that. Where do you think ooze comes from? Okay. So it's that thing. It oozes out. It's part of it that goes out of the Trinity to us. But it's one of those things that's really nice. But when we get into talking about this kind of thing, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And I was trying to think, how am I going to explain this? When I was at the University of Arizona working on my doctorate, I took a class called Teaching Music in Higher Education. In other words, how are you going to be a music professor? Okay? Great class, by the way. We had a stack of stuff to read. It was about this thick. Although I had to read far more stuff in the seminary than I did in my doctoral program. If you've ever been to my house and seen my library, there's about 400 books there of theology we had to read. Do I remember all of it? No. But like Henry Ford said in the $64,000 question, it's not important. I know it. It's important. I know where to find it. But going back to this, the professor at the end of the semester said this, all right, you didn't get a syllabus. Well, why is a syllabus important? Well, a syllabus tells us what's going to be covered, okay, when it's going to be covered, when the tests are going to be, what the grading is for the test, all the extra things you have to do in the class. In other words, it puts everything you got to do. We didn't have a syllabus. Doctoral level class. Your job is to write the syllabus for this class. Well, we've been sitting in that classroom for a whole term, a whole semester. And we had people sitting in there that were very intelligent. I'm intelligent. We had people that were a lot smarter than I was. Of course, we had some that, you know, if you wanted to use their forehead as a lining strip, it would work that way. But here's the thing. As we got into this, we started talking, all right, what was in the class? And then you start tearing things apart and coming up with things. So by the time we were done, we came up with five goals that the class had. So we went in, Prof looked at this, and he says, let me show you something. He pulled out his syllabus. Had six goals. The first five goals were exactly the same goals we had written down. Boy, we had a lot of arguments about that, but in the end, we got it. Of course, you know, one of the things, I don't know if you've ever heard this saying, but a camel is a racehorse designed by a committee. You've heard that one before? So when you get a bunch of people together talking about things, like I said, some people get it, some people don't. Well, I think it should be this. We didn't even talk about that. Well, yeah, but it was inferred. Well, if it was inferred, it wasn't talked about. We got to go with what he said. You know, we do this kind of thing. So when we got done, we had five of the six. And he says, the six, we didn't get to. We ran out of time. That means that we were able to take what he had done as a professor and come back and give it back to him as we learned it. I thought that was pretty cool. I wouldn't have the guts to do that myself, because with undergrads, you know, you got to be very, yeah, I mean, they're still kids, you know. All right, boys and girls, you got to do this first, and you got to do this. But it was really interesting. But I am here to overcome the world. That means you got to learn something from this, right? Did we learn something from that class? Well, sure we did. Not only the information he had, but we learned what he wanted us to learn. Does Jesus have a lot of stuff for us to learn? Of course he does. But what's one of the things as we get into this, do we understand everything? I wish I did. You know, how many times have we been sitting, for those of you who come to Bible study, and you'll ask me a question, and I said, I don't know, I have no idea. Let me go home and do some reading. I don't know everything. Although I've been with some pastors that would never admit they don't know anything. I wouldn't trust them, okay? I want somebody to be honest with me. But I have overcome the world. How does Jesus overcome the world? Well, by dying and being born again. But is that it? Is there more to it than that? You're right. How? On the cross. True. All right, boys and girls, I want you to think. Why did I tell the story today of that class? About what we learn from him. All right. So, do we learn things from Jesus? I went back to that same statement again. Sure we do. Where do we learn those things? In the Bible. Now, was Bill right when he said he died on the cross? Sure he was. But is that all he does for us? No. He leads us. But how does he lead us? Through the Holy Spirit. That part that oozes out. Okay? So when I have overcome the world, there's more to it than just dying on the cross. Most important part. But he walks with us every day. Footprints. Guys walking out on the beach, and there's two sets of footprints. Okay? Remember in the garden? And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Great hymn. But the theology in that is right on. So, my friends, when we think about Jesus, Jesus is the light of the world. No darkness can overcome. He has come to overcome the world. Why? Because he's the winner. He is our God. And the people of God respond with, amen. To God be the glory. Amen.